Here in Revelation 3, this morning, Jesus is speaking to the churches, which would be us. And he is speaking to the seventh of the seven churches, the church at Laodicea. Many people believe that the seven churches represent the seven periods of church history. That may be true. If it is true, then we are the Laodicean church, the church of the last times, the end times, which, by the way, isn't a good thing, as you'll see. But it does very accurately characterize the church of today, sadly. And so we need to take heed to what Christ had to say, because he's speaking to us directly here in Revelation 3, beginning in verse 14. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So neither cold nor hot is the title of our message. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we are truly grateful to be here around our Savior, Jesus Christ, around the Word of God. And we pray you'd use the Word in our lives now, Lord, as we each seek to hear from you. May you do a miracle in our hearts. May you be glorified and guide us in your perfect truth. And Lord, we will give you the thanks and the glory for it. We love you so much and pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. So we see that, again, that Jesus is writing to the churches, to us. We are one of the churches of the church age. And we see it's Jesus. He's the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation. We see that he is God. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's the creator. And he's writing to us to warn us, if you will. Because as he says there in verse 15, I know thy works. I know thy works. It's not that it's a surprise to Christ where we are. He wants us to understand that he knows where we are, and we might not be where he wants us to be as far as our commitment and our service to him. But he's saying, I already know where you stand in your walk with me. I already know your works, and some things might need to change. You know, the Bible says the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. The Lord sees everything. But he says, I know thy works. We're here to work. When Christ saved us, he didn't save us to sit and wait. He saved us to get busy and serve him until he comes to take us to glory. And then we'll have a time of rest. But in the meantime, he saved us to work. And you know, the Bible says that we were created in Christ Jesus unto good works, Ephesians 2:10. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're here to work for Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, I know thy works. I know where you stand, and many of you need to make some changes. And it has to do with commitment. Notice verse 15, that thou art neither cold nor hot. Christ, number one rebuke and complaint about the church at Laodicea was that they were lukewarm. Now, if you read the seven letters, there were many things about the churches that he wrote. Some of them were things that he was commending them for. Some of the things where he was rebuking them for. By the way, the church at Laodicea, there is no commending. There's only rebuke. Isn't that sad? Some of the churches, it was only Christ praising them for what they'd done, but not the church at Laodicea. He says that you are neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. He says, I wish you were one or the other. I wish you were either on fire for me or dead in your Christianity so that I can deal with you, but not lukewarm. You know, the Bible teaches that the Word of God is like a fire. Jeremiah 23:29 says, "Is not my Word like as a fire, saith the Lord?" God's Word is a fire, and it should be firing us up to serve Jesus Christ. And we should be hot. We should be fervent in our desire to please and serve the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave everything for us. We should be hot. And yet, what we find in today's Christianity is that the majority of Christians are lukewarm. They are cruising their way to glory, waiting for Jesus to come. Yeah, they'll go to church sometimes and they'll read their Bible now and then and maybe tell somebody about Jesus every now and then. But for the most part, they're just lukewarm. But that's not what God wants. Go to Romans 12, if you would, verse 11. God wants us to be hot. The Bible says, Colossians 3:23, whatsoever you do, do it heartily. That includes our Christianity. Do it heartily. Notice Romans 12:11, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. God would ask the question this morning, are we fervent in spirit? Are we fervent? That word fervent means hot. It means on fire. It means fired up, fervent in spirit, because Jesus has given you everything. He saved you from hell. He's making a mansion for you in heaven. He says, I want you to be fervent. I want you to be on fire for me. Basically like we were when we first got saved. Most of us remember those days. Now look at Revelation chapter 2, where he's speaking to a different church, but still, sadly, a rebuke. This is the church at Ephesus, Revelation 2:4. He says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Well, we all know who that is. That's Jesus Christ. And he's saying to this church, Laodicea, and to us, I don't want you to be lukewarm. I want you to be hot. I want you to be on fire for me. The Bible says in Proverbs 19:15, slothfulness casteth into a deep sleep, and an idle soul shall suffer hunger. Jesus in Matthew 20, he says, why stand ye here all the day idle? In one of his parables. Luke 19, we have the man that was very rich, and he said, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. The next verse, God says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. So I believe God's asking us the question, is there a time when we were once closer to God than we are today? Is there a time when we read the Bible every day and we don't now? Maybe a time when we would pray about every decision, but we don't anymore. Maybe a time when we were forgiving and let things go, but now we dwell on the faults of others and won't forgive. Maybe a time when we would tell people about Jesus, but we don't anymore. And we could go on all afternoon, couldn't we? This is what Jesus is saying to the church. What happened? Down in verse 17 of our passage, it says, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods. That's what happened. Is the church said, I'm okay. Now, you know, Paul never had this attitude. Paul in Romans chapter 7, verse 24, he said, oh, wretched man that I am. This is the man that had planted multiple churches, seen literally thousands of people come to Christ, people trained to be pastors. The greatest church planter that ever lived said, oh, wretched man that I am. He never had the attitude that he had arrived. He never had the attitude that he was done. He never had the attitude that it was time to just sit back and take it easy. Go to Philippians chapter 3. This was Paul's attitude, Philippians 3:13. And that was, I'm going to work for Jesus until he takes me home. And that's exactly what he did. He got to the end of his ministry and he said, I finished my course. Philippians 3:13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to say, yes, I served Jesus for the past 20 years, so what? forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark. Paul wrote this after he'd already been in the ministry for a long time. He said, I'm just going to keep pressing. I'm going to keep working. I'm going to keep serving. The day of rest is when I get to heaven. But until then, I'm here to work. And that is true for every believer. And yet the Laodicean church, if you go to Romans chapter 12 again, they had this attitude that they were pretty good. They were going to heaven. They believed they were Christians. And, you know, why stress? Why get overboard? We're rich. We're increased with goods. We have everything we need. Romans 12:3 says, I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Think soberly, seriously, to stop and say, no, I don't have it all sorted. I don't have everything. I've got a ways to go. God still has to make some changes in my life. God still has to work on me. And I need to keep working for Him to get on fire for God. The Bible says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall, in 1 Corinthians 10:12. We should never, as Christians, get to the point where we believe we've arrived, where we're done, where we're finished. We have so much to do. If we didn't, then we wouldn't be here. God leaves us here to work. But the church here at Laodicea, they says in verse 17 of Revelation 3, I have need of nothing. What a sad statement. I have need of nothing. Folks, we need His grace every day. We need His mercy every day. We need His wisdom every day. His strength, His guidance, His forgiveness. If we ever get to the point where we say, I have need of nothing, we are in a bad state. And yet that's where this church was. If you would, look at Proverbs 30. Solomon understood this, by the way. Now, Solomon was given more wisdom than any man outside of Christ. Imagine what that would be like to have so much wisdom. And yet, at the end of his kingship, the Bible says he was led astray by his wives and started having altars to false gods. This is the wisest man that ever lived. And notice here in Proverbs 30, toward the end, he says here, verse 8, remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me, lest I be full and deny thee and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. The wisest man that ever lived wrote that. By the way, he was super wealthy. You'd have to be to have 300 wives. Imagine that. But look, he says, I don't want to be too full, which is the Laodicean church, or I don't want to be so poor that I have to steal to eat. He says, just keep me where I need to be, basically. And God is saying to the church, you're in the wrong place. You have this wrong attitude that you have everything that you need when you need so much more. You need to stop being lukewarm. You need to get on fire for me again. You know, the Bible says in Luke 6, woe unto you that are full, for ye shall hunger. God wants Christians that are hungry for more. More of God's word, more of God's fire, more of God's service. Back to our passage, it says, and knowest not, this is Jesus speaking to the church, to us, knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Outside of Jesus Christ, what do we have? Nothing. If it wasn't for Christ, we'd all be going to hell. The Bible says, even our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in Isaiah 64, verse 6. God doesn't need our works. He doesn't need our money. He doesn't need our devotion. God has everything He needs. He is totally self-sufficient. But God created us because he wanted the fellowship. He wants to spend time with his people, with his creation. And you see that in the Garden of Eden. And that was lost through sin. But then it was restored through Calvary. And now through the blood of Jesus Christ, we can spend time with God. But God wants his servants, which that's what we are, to serve. To be on fire for Jesus Christ. He says here in verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. I want you to wake up and see that you need more. In Psalm 32, the Bible says, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. God's willing to show us. Always willing to say yes. If we'll ask, the Bible says, and if you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and it shall be given him in James 1:5. God's always willing to show us the way to go. He's always willing to guide us, but we have to be willing to ask and admit we need it, you see. And it's the same with the power. It's the same with the fervency, as we read there in Romans 12:11. God's always willing to give those things, but we've got to be willing to ask. If you would look at Proverbs 23 this time, verse 23. There's one thing God wants you to be chasing. Look what it is. The truth. Buy the truth and sell it not. And by the way, there's other passages that explain you can't buy it with money. Proverbs 23:23. You can't buy the truth with money. Buy the truth and sell it not, also wisdom and instruction and understanding. This is Solomon writing again and saying, what you need is more of this. Because the more of this that we have, you know what's going to happen? It's going to work in our hearts and lives and grow us. Because the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And the Bible says to desire, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that you may grow. God wants us to keep growing. We're to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter 3:18. And when we stop growing, that's when we're in trouble. But you know what? This church at Laodicea, and by the way, go to 1 Corinthians 2:12 while we're talking. 1 Corinthians 2:12. But this church in Laodicea, they had stopped growing. And that is never God's will or God's plan for our lives. But you know why they'd stopped growing? Because they didn't believe they needed to grow anymore. And that is dangerous. And that characterizes today's church. I mean, globally, is Christians who say, I don't really need anything else. I'm where I need. I don't need to grow anymore. I don't need to get any better. And that's exactly what Satan wants you to believe. He's the master of lies. And if you ever get to that point where you believe that you don't need anything else like this church, that's the time when you need to, verse 19, repent. Say, Lord, I'm wrong. I have the wrong attitude. Notice 1 Corinthians 2:12. We've received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We have the Holy Spirit of God, the Bible says. The day we got saved, we received him. He came that we might know more about God and more of the things that God has provided for us. He's there and ready to guide us. But the Holy Spirit doesn't force himself on anybody. He can be quenched. The Bible says, quench not the Spirit. The Bible says, grieve not the Spirit. And the Laodicean church was to the point where they couldn't hear the Spirit. Because the Spirit would have been saying to them, as he says here, you have the wrong attitude. I need you to come to me. I need you to come and ask for my counsel, ask for my guidance, because you're wrong. You are not in need of nothing. You're in need of everything. They say, well, I have need of nothing. God says, actually, you're wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And by the way, outside of Christ, we're all of those things. We need more. And God says, I were that neither cold, that you were cold or hot, but please not lukewarm. And there's only one solution, by the way, and that's verse 19. Look what Jesus says. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Look at that word, zealous. The Laodicean church was the opposite of zealous. Zealous means on fire. Zealous means excited, fired up, ready to go, wanting to do anything and everything they can for God. Be zealous and repent. The church at Laodicea, God says, you are wrong and you need to repent. You are lukewarm. I want you to be hot for me. You need to be zealous and repent. And the solution never changes. When God speaks to us and says, you're not where I want you to be, it always starts with repentance on our part, admitting that we are wrong. Then we're in the right place where we can say, Lord, I'm wrong. And I need your help and I need your guidance. And you know what? God will give it. He promised that he would. But not as long as we have this attitude that I have need of nothing. We all need more. The sad thing is, no Christian would ever get up and say, you know what? I'm exactly where God wants me to be. I never sin anymore. I always do the right thing every day, 100%, just what Jesus would do. No Christian would stand up and say that because none of us do. And yet the devil whispers to Christians, especially ones that have been saved a while, and says, you know, you're actually a pretty good Christian. Look around at all those other Christians, what ratbags they are. You're pretty good. That's what the devil does. But the Bible says comparing themselves among themselves is never wise. We should only be comparing ourselves to Jesus. And if we're not like Jesus yet, 100%, then God has some work to do on us. Amen? We've got a ways to go yet. That's what Jesus is trying to say to the church at Laodicea and to Christians today. Wake up. Admit that you need more. Admit that you're not where God needs you to be. Ask for God's help. And the good news is, if you're not dead yet, then God's ready to help. If God hasn't taken you to glory, then you're still teachable and changeable. Amen? So allow God to do it. Neither cold nor hot, he said. I would thou wert hot, but not lukewarm. That's God's will for every single one of us. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we love you.